You're listening to the SEO Mindset Podcast. Now, we are not your typical how to do SEO podcast. No, we are not. With the help of our guests, we cover those all important topics around career development, personal growth, and mental health for those working in the SEO industry. You got to be working on your own internal algorithm. Like what we did there. So if you like the sound of our podcast and you think this is a bit of me, shall we crack on with this week's episode?
Hello and a very warm welcome from the SEO Mindset Podcast with your hosts, myself Tasman Suliman and my wonderful co-host Sarah McDowell. We have episodes going out every Thursday and this week Sarah chats with Lily Ray about the importance of having curiosity in SEO and the benefits it can bring to the workplace. They discuss whether it's something that can be learnt and Lily shares examples of how curiosity has really helped her in her career. Most of you will know who Lily is, but for those who don't, here's a little bit of an intro. Lily is the Vice President of SEO Strategy and Research at AMCIF, where she provides strategic leadership for the agency's SEO client programs. Born from a family of software developers, web developers and technical writers, Lily brings a strong technical background, performance-driven habits and forward-thinking creativity to all the programs she oversees. Lily began her SEO career in 2010 in a fast-paced startup environment and moved quickly into the agency world, where she helped grow and establish an award-winning SEO department that delivered high-impact work for a fast-growing list of notable clients, including Fortune 500 companies. Lily has worked in a variety of verticals with a focus on retail, e-commerce, B2B, and CPG sites. She loves diving into the algorithm updates, assessing quality issues, and solving technical SEO mysteries. So I can see where the need for curiosity is really high because, I mean, you can't solve a mystery without some curiosity, can you? Before I play you the conversation, a reminder that if you're enjoying what Sarah and I are doing with the podcast, there are various ways that you can support us. One is by donating via the Buy Me a Coffee link, which is in the show notes, where you can give us a cheeky donation of £5, which will really help us with the podcast. Another way you can help us is by sharing. Share with anybody that you know who, for them, personal and professional development is really important, because the topics we cover are not just for the SEO industry. They are for a much wider audience. So if you are enjoying anything with the podcast, any particular episodes you love, please share far and wide. Anyway, now let's have a listen to Lily and Sarah.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Lily.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I am super excited to have you on the podcast and I believe you're traveling right now. Is that correct?
I am. I'm in Berlin. I was speaking in Hamburg last week and I'll be in Portugal next week.
Oh, nice. So is Hamburg somewhere that you like to visit regularly or...?
It was my first time in Hamburg. I spoke at the OMR conference, which was amazing. And I'm here in Berlin writing out a few days before my next talk in Portugal. That was my first time in Hamburg, but I go to Berlin quite often, so I'm happy to be here.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we were talking just before recording and I said that Berlin is a place that's always on my list, but I've not quite been there. I mean, I've got no excuse because I'm based in the UK, right? So I can be there in like, 2 hours? But for some reason, it's never quite happened. How often are you doing talks? How often are you a speaker?
Yeah, I would say on average about 2 to 3 times per month for the past maybe 4 or 5 years with some breaks, but definitely a lot of traveling. You know, a lot of those talks are international, so that comes with all kinds of airports and packing and unpacking and traveling all over the place. So it feels like a lot. But yeah, that's been a big part of my life for the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, it's very impressive. So over the last couple of years, I've upped my speaking game and getting more gigs and conferences and opportunities. But 2 to 3 a month, that is impressive. That is impressive. So yeah. And it's great that you get to explore at the same time, right? Do some speaking, but also explore.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, ever since, I would say since COVID kind of changed the landscape of how we work, you know, my agency went sort of remote hybrid during that time. So it's definitely enabled me to do a lot more traveling and meeting SEO professionals and digital marketers around the world. So that's been a really, really cool opportunity for sure.
Amazing. I mean, this might be a hard question, but where, of course, I mean, I don't know whether you'd answer Berlin to this, but where would be your go-to? So if you're recommending anyone to go and explore for the conference, but also the city or the place that you're exploring, would that be, is Berlin your go-to or is there some other places?
It really depends on the person and what they're into.
You know,
I also moonlight as a DJ. So Berlin is kind of like paradise for people in the electronic music scene. That's why I come here so much. But I also spend a couple months every year in Buenos Aires, Argentina, when it's summertime down there and winter in New York. So that's a wonderful city as well. But in general, I mean, there's so many incredible places. I think like Spain, I love, you know, Barcelona, Madrid are all amazing. I love Paris. London's awesome. Lots of different places.
What came first, DJing or SEO? That is the big question.
So technically, I started doing SEO first and DJing shortly after, I want to say. But I am a drummer as well. I played in rock bands growing up. So that started awesome. When I was 6 years old. So I've been a musician pretty much my whole life.
Nice. Well, a brag for you on my point is I reached grade 5 in piano. So
amazing.
Yes, I have some musical in my background as well. Lovely stuff. So I have invited you on the SEO Mindset podcast today to talk about curiosity. And I think this will be a really good conversation because I want to sort of unpick curiosity, what it is, why it's important, and how it can help us be better SEOs or better professionals. Now, the reason this topic came up is I follow you on LinkedIn and I see a lot of your content, and it sort of comes across that a lot of the things that you're posting comes from a place of curiosity. So you sort of like you're digging into something or you're researching something or you see something or a trend and you want to look into that. Would you say that was a fair sort of summing up? Would you say you're a quite curious person?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily like think about it in those terms, but now that we're talking about it, I would say, yeah, that's definitely something that's driven me throughout my SEO career is always this feeling of not knowing everything or not feeling like I know everything. Like your knowledge in the SEO space is never truly complete. You know, things change and develop and evolve every day. So a big part of that is just being like endlessly curious about what's happening and what's changing. I mean, like just even today, like you go to work thinking you're going to work on something and then something big happens or there's some new development in the space. And it's like, I'm always really hungry to figure out what that is or learn as much as I can. So definitely a big driving factor in SEO is the need to be curious just because things are always changing.
Nice. And I definitely agree with you because if you ever get to the point where you're like, I know everything there is to know about SEO or whatever industry or a particular topic, you're in a really sort of dangerous place of being left behind because we should always be learning. We should always be developing. We should always be curious. So I think it's so, so important to have that. Now, would you say that curiosity is something that can be learned?
I think so. I think a good starting point is really understanding, like, again, it's you can't really know everything. And especially in a field like SEO, where there's so many different facets and like subsets of SEO, like there's so many different things that we all work on. So just knowing how all the pieces kind of fit together, and really just knowing you can't know everything, you don't know everything. And like, especially now with AI, it's like exponentially changing. Like the number of different tools that we have, the number of ways that we have to analyze data and new findings related to like what Google's up to and all the different search engines and large language models. There's just so much happening. So I think kind of putting on the mindset of, you know, there's a lot happening and I want to try to synthesize all that information in a way that makes sense for me and spend every day kind of learning something new and asking questions about what I'm doing. That's really important. And I think anybody could do that.
And do you think it kind of takes away the fear? Because a lot in our industry, like you said, things are changing all the time. The landscape is changing, things are developing, and it can be scary to keep on top. And it can be quite fearful, being like, am I always going to know what to do? How can I keep up with all this change? So would you say curiosity allows you to sort of tackle that fear and come at stuff with not, well, I want to say from a place of playfulness, but more sort of, if you are being curious, it's okay to sort of not know something because that's what you're curious about, because you need to, yeah?
Yeah, no, I think one of the, I think, best aspects of like an effective SEO is that curiosity and that need to ask questions. Because I think one of the ways that SEOs can get stuck is thinking that I have a really good handle on things. I really know everything that there is to know, and I'm going to kind of not keep learning, right? I'm going to kind of be stuck in my ways and just kind of approach things the same way, because especially right now, there's just so many new and different ways of approaching the same problems that we've been approaching for a long time, you know, like with new tools and new abilities to like synthesize and analyze data more quickly and things like that. So I think as long as you're kind of saying, there's a lot that I don't know, and I want to try to figure out as much as I can, and I feel comfortable asking people questions, you know, and also admitting when I don't know something or being okay not knowing something. Like I'm on a team of 30 plus people and we all know different things. We all have completely different skills. And one thing that I love about our team is we meet every day and we all share what we know and also ask each other questions. And it's very much an environment where we can collaborate and learn from each other. And without that, we would really be stuck like that. That's the thing that really advances us so much.
Yeah, because we all have our own strengths and weaknesses, and we need to learn what we can do, but we also need to learn what we're missing so that we can lean on other people or ask those questions. Would you say that one of the biggest blockers of people being more curious is because they fear about being found out that they don't know?
Yeah, I think it's really easy to get, number one, like really overwhelmed and feel a lot of imposter syndrome in our industry because there's so much to know. And that can result in people not asking questions, right? Because maybe they're kind of shy, or maybe they feel a little bit ashamed about what they know and what they don't know. So their response might be like kind of just cowering and like not wanting to say anything, which I'm always encouraging my teammates, like, please don't do that. You know, there's no dumb questions. You can ask as much as you want. You shouldn't feel bad about little things that you didn't know. Like I've been doing this 15 years and there's still stuff all the time that I was like, can't believe I didn't know that this whole time, but now I do, you know? And so it's okay to have those questions because we're all learning at different speeds and we're all learning different things at different times. The other side to that is some people especially people that have been working in this space for a long time, can develop this perspective of like there's so much new information coming out and maybe they're just tired and they don't necessarily want to keep opening their mind to new opportunities to learn new things, or especially with AI, it's just so overwhelming. There's so much happening so fast. I think some people can have a tendency to say like, I don't like this new thing. I'm going to keep doing things the way that I've always done them. And that can be a bit of a blocker as well. So I think, like we said before, like that understanding, like it's essential to SEO to be curious every day and try to learn new things every day, because the industry just moves too quickly. It's not great to get stuck in your ways.
And just because you are used to doing something in a particular way now doesn't mean that that is necessarily the right way, because things can change. You can change how you approach things. And arguably, are you saying that people should have the courage to do that more?
Yeah, I mean, within reason. I think one of the things that I love most about our industry is the fact that we do have so many conferences and also like online publications and people really inspired to share their ideas and how they do things. You know, we're in a really unique industry in the sense that so many people have personal blogs and they submit articles to industry publications and they like to speak at events and they like to do webinars and podcasts because we all share a lot. So I feel like, you know, there's so much opportunity to learn for free. And that's something that I think should make up a good maybe 20 or 30% of your time in the SEO space, is just hearing what other people have to say, hearing other people's approaches to things, because the reality is there's just too much happening all at the same time for one person to be able to kind of conquer all those different areas of expertise. So yeah, I think that willingness to say like, I understand how I'm doing things, but maybe there's a better way to do them, or maybe somebody else has a different approach to doing the same thing, and maybe that's something that I want to try for myself.
And there's no harm in trying, because you might try something and you might be like, okay, that works for that person, but I've tried it out and it doesn't work for me, but I can take certain elements from that and be inspired for next time. Or so I suppose just because you're trying new things, it doesn't mean that you're always going to take them on, but it's good to know what's out there and find what's right for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing that's really cool now is it's easier now than it ever was before to try to learn new approaches and new ways of doing things, because now we have AI. So I feel like, you know, ChatGPT or Perplexity or whatever you use as day to day as your favorite LLM of choice can walk you through steps in a way that we didn't have before. So like there's certain tools that I use in my day to day, like for example, Power BI. And a lot of times in the past several years before ChatGPT existed or the other LLMs, you know, I would get stuck on a certain problem and I would get really frustrated and feel really lost and try to Google it and not be able to figure it out. And now so many of the times you can just talk to ChatGPT about it and it can help you figure it out. And it's like, wow, I can now move forward and keep learning new things. So I feel like, yeah, now more than ever, it's much easier to continue learning.
Okay, so we are due to take a break shortly, but I have very much enjoyed our conversation so far, and I am really hoping that listeners who have been a little bit nervous about being curious or even didn't really think about this side of SEO are starting to, you know, open up and be like, yes, I need to be more curious. I need to do this. But before I take us into our first break, what would you say to someone who needs that extra little bit of convincing? So they're listening right now and they're like, oh, yes, but what is that one thing that you could say to them to try and get them over the line?
I think step outside your comfort zone and either join some type of online community with, you know, like-minded people, or maybe people in the SEO space. There's a handful of Slack groups or, you know, forums or places where people talk about things, or attend an in-person conference. Because the more that you're exposed to other people's ideas, the more that you'll realize, oh, there's other ways of thinking about this. And I think that'll be really beneficial.
Nice. And do you know what? You've sort of really nicely led us into what we're going to be talking about in part two, because in part two, we're going to be sharing more practical strategies and tips about how to be more curious. And yeah, Lily will be sharing some more examples. So join us back for part two.
Hi, Tasmin here. Are you looking to take your career to the next level? Be more visible, earn more, but also take care of your well-being and have work-life harmony? Well, I can help you because I'm offering you a free 30-minute consultancy call. Together, we can go through where you want to be and how to get there. Simply click on the link in the show notes, fill in a form, and I'll get back to you.
You probably already recognise this voice, but Sarah here. Are you enjoying what me and Tasmin are doing and fancy supporting the podcast? Well, it just so happens that you can. Now, for the same price as a Starbucks, Costa, or your favourite coffee shop coffee, you can give us a one-off tip or a monthly donation. If you fancy doing that, follow the link in the show notes. Why not also help us share the podcast? Get the word out there. Share us with your friends, colleagues, family, anyone who you think would benefit from our podcast. Introducing Clear Narrative Media, a purpose-led media marketing agency that transforms how founders, creatives, and organizations share their stories online. Dedicated to assisting you with all your marketing content and strategy needs. Their services include photography, consultancy, and social media management. Clear Narrative Media is here to transport your visions to life. They are on a mission to help you to create awareness, build visibility, and enhance your business and professional growth overall. For more information, head over to their website at cnmedia.com or follow the link in the show notes. Lily, are you still with us?
I am.
We were just saying that it is very warm. Well, it's very warm in the UK. And I was just saying to Lily, I'm so hot right now because I've got a light facing me. All my windows are shut and it is 22 degrees in the UK. So that is warm. And it's warm in Berlin as well, you were saying.
It is. It's actually quite lovely. The city can get very dark and cold. So I am not complaining at all. Loving the heat right now.
I do think everyone is in a good mood when the sun is out.
For sure. I was actually in London a few weeks ago and it was also quite warm and it was a very different vibe than normal London experience, for sure.
So does this mean that you are bringing the sun wherever you visit? It seems that you brought the sun to London, the sun to Berlin.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way this year. I was in Argentina for 2 months and it was perfect summer, you know, temperatures every day. And since then, I've been quite lucky. I've been avoiding a lot of terrible snowstorms and rainstorms in New York, for sure.
So let's just touch wood, because we don't want to jinx ourselves now, now that we've been saying all this lovely weather. Okay, so welcome back, listeners. So part two. So we've already covered curiosity and why we should be more curious. And hopefully we have empowered you to, you know, be like, yes, I need to be more curious. It's quite hard to say curious so many times in a row. I'm stumbling across it each time I say it. But anyway, I will not derail the conversation. Lily, what'd be really good is if you could share a real life example of where curiosity has helped you.
Yeah, a few come to mind. One thing that I've done a lot throughout my career, especially as it relates to like articles that I've written and speaking engagements that I've done, is when I want to know something about the state of the industry, I will conduct surveys. So I've done a few different surveys more like formally, like using MTurk in the past, where I wanted to understand how like average people felt about different Google search features or how different people used Google. So I was able to get like, you know, over 1,000 responses from just like people that fill out surveys. and then kind of like put together that data and put together some analyses about how people feel about different Google products and everything. So that's, you know, one example of having kind of like, I think I know how people feel, but I want to back it up with data. And then also, you know, there's ways to do that a little bit more informally on like, whether it's X or LinkedIn, they have tools that you can use to run polls and surveys and everything. So whenever there's like a question I want to answer as part of my presentation or the article that I'm writing, I'll often do that just to get some data to back up my thoughts.
Lovely, lovely. And I mean, I love a poll or a question. Whenever I see them popping up, I always like to get involved, or I do them myself. Bit of a question. How, because I'm very aware that we all have our own biases. So if you are getting data out there, how can you make sure that your own biases don't get in the way of how you're reading that data, if that question makes mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah, I think that's a really big part of like how you have to structure polls and surveys, because it's really easy to ask like leading questions, for example, or to survey a certain demographic that might be biased in a certain way. So just kind of making sure that you're setting up the survey in a way where, again, you have like a more objective panel of respondents, and then also trying to be neutral in how you ask the questions, not leading questions in any way. And, you know, or just understanding who your audience is. You know, I think obviously when I do surveys with my followers on X, that's a very specific demographic of people. Or when I do surveys on LinkedIn, it's most likely a bunch of SEO professionals and digital marketers, which could be skewed towards a certain, you know, demographic as well. So just kind of like, if you are going to be doing a survey that could be a little bit biased, just making sure that you're clear about that when you present the data.
That's really good feedback. Has anything ever like really shocked or surprised you? Because you said that you tend to do sort of surveys or polls when you want to, when you get a feeling that you think people feel a certain way, but then you actually want to back it up with data. Have you ever been like shocked or surprised by anything that's come back?
Yeah, I did a number of articles on Moz, on the Moz blog several years ago, where I asked questions and kind of overlaid the answers with the users like age groups and demographics. So like where they live and how old they are. And doing that type of analysis was really interesting, because you can start to see trends and patterns about like how younger people feel about different Google search products compared to older users. And that's pretty fascinating, because it actually aligns very closely with certain things that Google's sharing lately about how younger searchers use Google compared to older searchers, and why Google is pivoting in a certain direction, because, you know, younger users are using products in certain ways and they're kind of investing more in that because that's the future. So I love to kind of overlay, yeah, my questions with different demographic data points.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And my brain has just gone somewhere, because I was speaking to my friend and he has a daughter, a young teenager, and he was saying that it blew his mind because they get recommendations for places to eat when things go viral on TikTok. And we were talking about how bonkers that seemed to me. Like, don't get me wrong, I think I've been influenced in the past when like things have gone viral. But yeah, like there is a whole different generation to me that has search behavior that is different to me. And of course, that's going to be the way. But you were saying it was really weird because it was so popular and so viral, when they went to this certain place, like it could be in like the middle of nowhere, but all these people and a massive queue just forms for this place because it got really popular. And it just makes me think, yeah, you've got to know your audience, you've got to know behavior, right? Because we're all different. We're all different in how we do stuff. And that's not just based on age. That could be location or what we're into and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, TikTok in particular is changing the name of the game in so many places and categories. Like, you know, as we talked about before, I travel all the time. So like there will be, you know, I'll be in Paris and there's two ice cream shops and one on the one side has no line and the one on the right side has, you know, 1,000 people in line. It's like, what's the difference? One was featured on TikTok, you know, one went viral on TikTok. So that's, it's funny because I don't really use TikTok as much. I'm a, just the generation just above, I would say, where TikTok is super popular. And so it wasn't really part of my personal set of, you know, favorite social media apps, but you can definitely see the influence that it's having on like so many like restaurants and bars and nightclubs and everything. So it's absolutely changing the way that people search. And there's so many other products too, where I feel like younger users are using search engines and apps in very different ways than older consumers, for sure.
So both me and my partner, we are millennials, but she has fully submerged herself into TikTok. She loves it. And there's so many times where she'll tell me some current affairs or have you heard about this? And I'm like, oh, where did you get that from? And she'll be like, TikTok. I'm like, what? Is that a reputable source, babe?
Yeah.
Of course, there's reputable sources, but I suppose you have to be a bit careful. But yeah, but that just goes to show that like even with me and Tash being the same, like we're both sort of mid-30s, but even us, we have our different ways of searching and stuff. TikTok scares me, if I'm honest.
I know. I mean, I mentioned before, like the, you know, the generational divide, but it's true that, you know, millennials and older generations are absolutely using it too. And that's, I would say, one of the biggest opportunities as far as like companies that have maybe lost traffic and visibility from search engines like Google. A lot of that audience has shifted towards TikTok, not just younger users. So, and Google also likes to consume TikTok content and display TikTok content in different ways too. So there's definitely a lot of potential for businesses and for, you know, content creators and influencers on TikTok.
Exactly. Oh, that would be a very good, I mean, I won't derail the conversation and go into a completely different topic, but yeah, that would be a really good conversation to have more. Lovely. Okay. So I would like to know three actionable ways that our listeners can implement to be more curious. So for those listeners who, and of course I'm thinking all of our listeners are going to be like, yes, I'm here, I want to be more curious, how do I? Could you share like three strategies that they could implement?
One thing that I've done a lot throughout my career, and maybe it can seem a little scary to some people, but it's proven to not be so scary and be very effective for me, is reaching out to people that I follow and whose work I admire and I trust and learn from very much, to actually develop like personal relationships with those people. You know, I always say shoot your shot, like reach out to people, tell them that their work has helped you and maybe you have some other questions for them and you'd love to have a quick chat or ask them something. More often than not, especially in our industry, people are really excited to, you know, to make new friends and to share ideas and everything. So I think having that, like taking the initiative to reach out to people, is extremely helpful. Pitch to speak at conferences. You know, it can be a little bit challenging at first. You know, I think there's a lot of competition in the SEO space and there's definitely not as many speaking opportunities as there are people who want to speak, but you will gain so much from putting together, you know, a talk and meeting other speakers and having that experience. And then of course, being a speaker gives you the opportunity to attend conferences, which is a really good way to learn new things as well. And the last thing is, I would say right now, the best way to kind of like satiate that curious feeling that we all have is to use AI tools. I'm learning so much every day, just experimenting with all the different AI tools. My current favorite, shout out to Crystal Carter. We just hung out last week and she kind of opened my eyes to how amazing Notebook LM is on Google, which is a free product on Google, where you can kind of combine a lot of different files and create like a chatbot or like a podcast summary and just learn new things. So now that I know that that's there, like every time I have a question about something, I'll like put all the files into there and just like ask it a bunch of different questions. So, you know, with AI, there's a lot of new ways to kind of like parse and analyze data and learn things much more quickly. So that should definitely help in your journey to like, yeah, be curious and want to learn things as efficiently as possible.
Yeah, definitely. And you've just got to, right? You've just got to be lean into your curiosity and have a go, try things out, because that's the only way that you're going to learn and develop and, yeah, improve your current skills. You've got to try these things.
For sure.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Right. I'm very sorry to say this, Lily, but we are rapidly running out of time. Technically, we've gone over, but there are three questions that we ask all of our guests. So my first question is, what is the key takeaway for our lovely listeners for this episode?
I would say the key takeaway is, you know, it can be tempting or easy to feel like either you already know everything, right? And so you're going to kind of be stuck in your ways and not learn new things, or you can feel very daunted and a bit scared about how much there is to learn. And both of those things can result in you not taking that next step of trying to learn new skills and new things every day and ask new questions. So I think no matter where you are in your career, you know, including people that have done this for 20 or 30 years, it's essential to keep experimenting and asking new questions and learning new things and meeting new people, just because SEO from even 3 years ago is completely different than it is today. So that curiosity is essential.
Lovely, lovely. Second question, someone awesome to follow in the industry and why?
I have two.
I don't know if that's allowed. No,
I'm breaking the rules. First of one that comes to mind has been a friend and mentor of mine for many years, Glenn Gabe. He's been in the SEO space for a very long time, and he is so generous in what he shares with the industry. I would say he posts, I don't even know, 20 plus things every day, all day, every day, for everybody to learn from. And he's been such a key figure in my own experience in my career, learning new things every day. And he's been very generous with his knowledge. So Glenn Gabe, he posts on X and LinkedIn frequently. And Crystal Carter, I also mentioned her before, but she is doing so much for the industry lately, and especially as it relates to like AI and large language models. She's been doing a lot of talks and podcasts and conference talks and everything, and sharing her knowledge as well. So definitely pay attention to what she's up to.
Awesome. I'll make sure that I'll pop the links to those people in the show notes. Well, that's it, Lily. That is time, unfortunately. But thank you so much for joining me today and having this wonderful conversation. This is going to be very valuable for our listeners. So a big thank you for you. Big thank you to you. I'm getting stuck on my words again, aren't I?
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Lovely stuff. And if people want to, I mean, people in our industry are gonna know about yourself, Lily, but just as a reminder, where is best for people to follow, read content that you're doing, keep up to date with different bits and bobs that you're posting?
Yeah, so every day I post on X and Blue Sky many times every day most days, and I try to do at least, you know, a few times a week I'll post on LinkedIn as well.
Lovely stuff. How are you finding Blue Sky?
It's a baby Twitter, but a lot of my favorite people in the industry have moved there. So I like the quality of the conversations that are happening there.
Someone told me it's Blue Sky is old school SEO Twitter back in the day.
Yep, definitely feels like that.
Wonderful stuff. Well, I'll make sure that all your links are in the show notes. And yeah, fabulous. And the only left thing for me to say is if you enjoy what me and Tasmin are doing with the podcast, you can support us. We are set up on Buy Me a Coffee, which means that you can give us a one-off donation, and that would be lovely. And word of mouth is probably one of the best ways to spread news about a podcast. So the next time you're listening to an episode, or maybe you're listening to this episode right now and you're thinking, crikey, such and such a person would love this content, they need to learn it, just find the link to the episode, find your friend and share it with them. And until next time, look after yourselves, and yes, enjoy the next episode. Looking to create awareness, build visibility, and enhance growth for your business, organization, or yourself? Introducing Clear Narrative Media, a purpose-led media and marketing agency that transforms how founders, creatives, and organizations share their stories online. Dedicated to assisting you with all your marketing, content, and strategy needs. You can find them on all social media platforms and online at cnmediaa.com or follow the link in the show notes.